Wednesday, April 30th, 1986. The preacher is Reverend Harley Kapitsky. The sermon text is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. The sermon theme is A Good View of Your Calling.
Grace, mercy, peace are yours from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God chosen for our meditation this morning, 2 Corinthians 4, 13 to 18, reading from the New American Standard. Having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke, we also believe, therefore also we speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus, and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. This is the text. In the name of the Lord Jesus, who calls men into the office of the holy ministry, which he himself has instituted, dear friends, vicarage assignees, especially fourth-year men and colloquy men, on this happy and yet somewhat anxious day for you, call day. This is a good day to have a good view of your calling. This is a good day to have a good view of why you aspire to the office of the holy ministry, and also as to why it is you intend to continue in it. Although I'm sure that by now the word, the doctrine, the ordinances which you have been studying have certainly authored and nurtured and shaped a clear view of that calling, nevertheless this morning I think it fitting to highlight St. Paul's view. Through these words of the apostle, you will recognize, you will delight in, you will be encouraged by the fact that his view is that good and excellent view which you yourselves, by the grace of God, have been given by the one who calls you. So we pray the Spirit's benediction on our meditation. The apostle gives, first of all, three reasons for being in the ministry. Number one, he has the same spirit of faith as David, who wrote, I believed, therefore have I spoken. Where did David write that? In the 116th Psalm. And do you know, are you familiar with the two preceding verses? They are a classic summary and an exclamation of faith ascribing full salvation and the assurance of it to God only. It reads, Thou, Lord, hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. You also believe, and therefore speak. It's the spirit of that faith, the spirit of those glorious truths having been planted in your hearts, which is the fullness out of which your mouths cannot but speak. The second reason for being in the ministry in the Pauline view is the knowledge. The knowledge that he who raised the Lord Jesus from the grave is going to raise us also with him and present us together with you. Present us where? Present us how? Present us before the presence of his glory with rejoicing, fully acceptable in his sight through the washing of the water with the word, through the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the everlasting covenant, through the word which he has spoken unto us, by which we are now clean, to be presented in his presence is, of course, the opposite of being ordered out of his presence. The complete opposite of the depart from me. This knowledge of Paul and his co-workers included, of course, far more than their personal resurrection to life eternal. They were in this ministry pursuing their calling, being instrumental in the bringing of others to faith, because these others also would attain the resurrection of the blessed. So the Pauline view is one of faith, which is paired with love, which knows that the Father will present us together with you, blemishless, spotless. The assured knowledge for this same God that did raise up Jesus, he is the one who will raise us up with him. The one who did raise him will raise us with him. This is the assurance of the timeless divine view. It means that there can be no possibility of a hitch developing somehow. Knowing Paul's in this ministry. Thirdly, the third beautiful reason for being in the ministry is that, as the 15th verse has it, the grace of God spreading to more and more people will cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. In other words, it is, again, recognition of the divine and gracious purpose that not simply we and our hearers only will stand in God's presence praising him for his great salvation, but also their hearers, our hearers' hearers. Christ gave some pastors, says this same apostle in Ephesians 4, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And as they, these saints then, are equipped, are enabled to teach others also, and then tell forth the praises of him who called them out of darkness into his marvelous light, tell those praises forth to others, be they Native American or black or Hispanic or Asian or Anglo, or be they people of other lands across the sea. God's grace is multiplied and it spreads and it increases as the message of forgiveness is engrafted into more and more hearts of yet more and more people. And as they share in their own language, in their own culture, among their family and friends and acquaintance, yes, and also to strangers, the gospel of Christ. All things are for their sakes, these all, the sake of these all. They all praise God. They all are then salt of the earth, light of the world. Or to continue with the Pauline view, they are our epistle read of all men. What a beautiful view Paul has of this high and holy calling, and to think that you have been given the very same view, that you agree with him wholeheartedly, that this is what it's all about. But the Pauline view includes three excellent reasons for remaining in the ministry, for not fainting, turning back, giving up. And these two you share with him. We don't faint, he says, first of all, because even though our outer man, and by that he means his natural physical life here and all that pertains to it and all that surrounds and applies to it, even though it is ending in death and in decay. In spite of this, yet our inner man, he says, is being renewed day after day, passive. The actor, of course, the agent, God. Day after day, God Himself renews, strengthens, refreshes Paul and his co-workers. And that's how it was, that it was with no great alarm that they perceived death being at work in them. You see, there is no kind of tribulation in existence that can hinder God's granting growth in strength, in patience, in peace, in hope to the inner man. As long as this earthly life endures, every Christian has this firm word of assurance. Lo, I am with you always. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I myself will come to you, and the Father will, and we will take up our abode with you. Secondly, we faint not, says Paul, because this momentary light affliction of ours is producing for us an eternal weight of glory. You can't read that without noticing the tremendous contrast. Momentary contrasted with eternity. Lightness with great weight, and affliction with glory. To be afflicted, perplexed, persecuted, as he has written earlier in the preceding verses, to be struck down and always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, to be delivered to death for his sake, to be hated of all men for the sake of the gospel, we might be tempted to call that a dreadful load. And Paul here calls it lightness, feathery lightness. Why? Because of the glory. The eternal eternity of glory exceeds such affliction beyond all excess in comparison. The Greek says excessively beyond excess, it exceeds it. We faint not. And by the way, the afflictions are not the cause of the glory, but part of the path through which God brings us there, having us lean on Him. The servant is above his master, but he shall be as his master. Thirdly, we faint not, having been made by God such men whose eyes are fixed, whose eyes are fastened on the unseen, on the spiritual, on the heavenly, on the eternal things. Not on the seen, not on the material, not on the earthly, not on the temporal, the transient. What tremendous folly to concentrate on, to live for, to devote oneself to such things. What when their brief season is over? Or when, having been occupied with such things, one loses his own soul? The day of grace being ended. Oh, what blessedness to have been given such eyes of faith which remain focused on the unseen, on the eternal weight of glory, on God's constant, gracious renewal of our inner man. These three reasons for not fainting in the ministry, plus the three we heard Paul cite for being in it in the first place, the gift of faith, the assurance of the resurrection, and not his resurrection only, the spreading of God's grace to more and more and yet more people. These certainly provide a good view of your calling, as well as the explanation of your happy, even though somewhat anxious, anticipation this morning. Anxious not over fear of heavy persecution immediately breaking out and engulfing you, but over the fact that there may indeed be a larger number of summer placements this year. Of this, however, you may be sure, the ministry will not disappoint you. This good view of your calling into it certainly gives lasting joy and encouragement. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all power of human thought to grant peace, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.